yesterday. Now, getting back to the Orioles, and I don't see Mullins being here by the end of the day. Certainly not in 2026. But you did the projected outfield. And I want Laureano to stay unless they get a deal that you just can't refuse. Because they need right-handed bats. But we keep forgetting Tyler O'Neill all of a sudden, who's been on a real tear as of late. And I doubt he opts out of his contract. So he'll be in Baltimore in 2026. Dylan Beavers is the next guy up. Probably we'll see him after the trade deadline at some point. Basayo as well. Let's get a look at it. I'm a little bit disappointed in Kowser, though. Made a great throw yesterday. Nailed the guy at the plate. But the offense is rather tepid, and the K rate is through the roof. We were talking about that a little bit yesterday.
Right there with Jackson Holliday, yeah. Two of the worst offenders in terms of strikeouts on the team. I'm not as down on him as you might be, but a side story here interested to keep an eye on for this offseason. We keep saying that there's going to be a hole to fill in center field. Do you think there's any possible way that they end up signing someone else to play left field and slide Kowser to center, or does that just seem too inconvenient for his development? Did you rather just keep him in left?
I could see Kowser handling center field on an everyday basis. We've seen him do it at times. Nah, whatever's best for the team. Kowser looks like a could play all three outfield spots guy. Laureano can play all three, but maybe his center field days were left in Oakland a few seasons ago. You know, Beavers is a center fielder. The guy with the highest upside defensively in the organization is Enrique Bradfield. And Honeycutt is apparently an 80-level defensive guy, too. Problem with both of them. Where's the offense? And Bradfield's a couple years now in, what, 3 years? What was he drafted? 24? 23. So he's third year in the system here and drafted out of college, too. He's like Mateo. The speed plays. Get him on base 33-34% of the time. You're watching a guy wreak havoc on the base pass. So it's all about the stick. And you talk about K rates. Honeycutt's is apparently historically bad down in the minors.
He's a ways away. I mean, he might be off the radar right now when we're talking about guys that could actually do something for this outfield in the immediate future. But with that in mind, you know, get rid of Honeycutt because there's others out there with Beavers and Fabian. But it seems like whoever they sign this offseason, it'll be of the stopgap variety. Probably someone like a Laureano type deal, one year with an option for another. Because best case scenario, Enrique Bradfield Jr. could be up here by the end of next year, or his development could slow down and he might not be ready. So, and even when he does get here, is he going to suffer the same fate that a lot of these other prospects have, that it takes him a while to get going? I mean, I think you kind of have to build that into your plans as well. You need a little runway. It's not as simple as, all right, this is his call up date. He's the starter, no questions asked. There's probably going to be a transition process for him to get up to speed.
Is it bad that neither one of us have mentioned Heston Kjerstad in this whole equation?
I think that's very telling. Yes, that's very telling. But it's right field or nothing for him. He's not going to play left with how cavernous it is. No. Certainly not playing center. I mean, if we want to be really honest about him, his best shot to maybe make the team would be as a DH, but I don't think the Orioles are in a position to have a full-time dedicated singular DH. They like to move it around, and with the Basayo-Adley dynamic, throw Mayo in at first base too. I mean, it's going to be a rotation of DHs for this team.
And Manzolino said right after Kjerstad was optioned back to the minors, if we're developing DHs, we're not doing our jobs.